Kate, Mary! You binge watch your average Netflix show and you just want to talk to someone about it. We need to talk to someone about Louis.
Today's episode of Gotta Be Done is recorded on the Wurundjeri lands of the Kulin Nation in Melbourne. We pay our respects to elders past and present, and any First Nations people who are listening and loving Bluey.
Kate!
Mary!
Are
you okay? Wow. I feel like we need a collective debrief after this morning.
We do need a collective debrief. We are fresh off watching The Sign, the biggest Bluey ever, the biggest ever Bluey. But I feel like we're in the right place to be debriefing because in the wagon... Joe Brum, thank you for all that trauma.
You're welcome. No worries, Kate. Good to see you again.
So good to see you guys. Hey,
again, release.
Higher, and
Dad, wake up!
What? Huh?
Joe, the episode is so special. When did you get the idea for The Sign?
Well, I suppose it started, Libby Doherty wanted... She suggested the idea of doing a longer episode, and I was up for the challenge. It took a little while to find the right story, but I think I'd had the sort of Frisky Rad Wedding in my head. I wanted to initially wanted to make that into a movie very early on, but it ended up partly as Double Babysitter. So when Libby suggested the longer ep, I thought, look, you know, let's have that wedding. And yeah, so I guess it would have been half, you know, towards halfway through season three, I started writing it. And I always knew I wanted it to be the finale of the season. So I just kind of wrote it with that in mind. And it was a new challenge for me to do it, to do something so long. But yeah, it was really, it was great. You know, when you've written 140 or whatever, 7-minute ones, it's nice just to have some variation, to be honest.
Well, it was definitely varied. Loved the wedding. But, yeah, that was all happening as a backdrop to this huge bombshell you landed on us last week in Ghost Basket that the healers were selling the house.
But if you were there, then that means this is actually a ghost wheelbarrow!
Did it work?
Yes! Thank you, young man.
No worries. But look, I can't do this every time.
Like, when did that kind of arrive as an idea in your head? And were you kind of conflicted about it initially?
No, we moved a couple of times when I was a kid, so I always, you know, it was a thing in my life, and I remember, you know, saying goodbye to friends and leaving the house and all that. So, you know, I think when it came time to write the episode and to have, you know, you want to go into emotional territory, obviously, and common territory, and, you know, in kids' cartoons, you probably don't want to be killing people or, you know... I didn't want to go into divorce. Yeah, you know what I mean. So leaving the house, given how much of a character, I guess, the house and Queensland in general is in the show, you know, and how much it always struck me how much just the physical makeup of the house influences the sorts of games you would play. Mm. It almost felt like you were killing a character, I guess. The threat of losing of the house and the location. So yeah, you know, it started a long time ago when we moved.
Oh, it doesn't have a pool?
Oh no, you won't need one. Queensland summers aren't that hot.
Oh, okay.
No way, Madam Bingo. Why not? Because he's selling our house. Oh, that's nice. Tina.
Were you more of a Bingo or more of a Bluey when you were moving, Joe?
Well, look, I can't remember. I think, weirdly, when I moved when we were five, I've got very little memory of it. But I'd say I was probably more of a bingo, if I was to take a guess. Yeah, and that's what I like about the app is that there is those two different ages there, you know. Like I remember when one of our guinea pigs died, it really hit me how differently a young kid would process that versus the old one. The young kid was too young to really get the concept, and it was just this, oh, well, carrot's gone, da-da-da, whereas the old one was quite upset. So kind of channeled that into this episode.
Yeah, like when my guinea pig ran away, my mum's told me he might come back, but he didn't.
Aww. Probably a snake ate him.
As residents of Melbourne and Adelaide, thank you for not naming the city they were moving to. That was obviously the true villain of this episode. I was holding my breath going, no, don't do it to us.
Oh, it would have been cool, right? Whole new city.
Just ostracize a whole Australian city. Thanks.
Yeah, you know, I thought a good misdirection in the lead up to this was, you know, I should have said something like, well, you know, this is partly funded by Screen Australia, so in all fairness, we have to spread, you know, the Bluey content out to different cities. And so, you know, we're going to have to take it to another city now, but I thought the better of it.
Very restrained, yeah.
Why do we have to sell our house?
We've been through this, Bluey. Dad's got a new job in another city.
And what's wrong with this city?
Nothing.
But this job pays a lot more money, which means we can give you kids a better life.
I don't want a better life.
Writing this episode, like so many call-outs to previous episodes, you know, even just Bingo getting a leg stuck in the railing towards the end there. Like, were you sitting down as you scripted it or, you know, post-scripting, just inserting all these different episodes references to make sure you had them all covered off? Was that a process you went through or it's just luck?
Yeah, a little bit. The big plot-related ones, like mm-hmm. the butterfly and Winton's dad, they were kind of, I guess when you get to the, you could have written the script without them. You just have some other element that is self-contained. But it was nice just to scan back to the previous season and just find those elements, because what it means for the kids watching it is, you know, the episode on one level is about all those little things that happen, and you know that causes this to turn left and turn right, and they're fun little puzzles to get. So to have one go all the way back to relying on Bluey, Bingo and Leela saving this little butterfly is, I thought, well, that'd be a really lovely thing for the kids to do. So yeah, I scanned back a bit and tried to fill those gaps in, and then, you know, it was kind of perfect, the Winton's dad and the terrier's mum.
My dad doesn't live with my mum, and now he's lonely all the time.
Aww.
How mum likes your dad?
Because my layout department had just been, you know, setting that up for three seasons. And we knew he had a pool, and it just kind of all worked
from
out.
From helicopter.
Oh, yeah. So which came first, the buyers wanting a pool or the realization that he had a pool?
The buyers wanting the pool.
Okay, right.
Yeah, it was quite nice. And then it was like, oh, yeah, like Winton's dad, and he's got a pool. And it was a nice
neat. So fortuitous.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to tell you it was back in season one or whenever helicopter came out that I wrote that in, but it wasn't.
I was going to actually ask Joe, is Bluey linear? This is something that Mary and I have wondered for a long time. You know, like, I guess, you know, looking back now, was part of me wondered, you know, some of those housework activities that have been going on, like scrubbing the budgie poo off the deck, was that ready to prep the house for sale? You know, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it can be if you want it to be. It's not. I don't. There's not a master plan of that level, you know, going on. And some like, you know, the shed just comes and goes when it needs to be. So continuity takes a hit for convenience with me.
Today's the day, Hugo. You're going to sell this house. You can do it. Nothing else matters. Hello, Monique. Lovely day, isn't it?
I guess so.
So you're looking to buy a house?
Yes, I am. Are you the house selling person?
Yes, and have I got the perfect house for you. Ta-da!
It's a bit small.
It's bigger inside.
I love the continuity, well, the, you know, the recurring theme that you get in there of these stories. And in this one, the farmer and his horse, and it, you know, it reminded me, and Google tells me that's like a classic Dow story. I've never heard it before, but, you know, it reminded me of the Queen and the Prickles, and the story behind Bumpy, and even like the Tickle Crabs bird that seemed very random but fitted that episode so well. Do you like go looking for these stories to then jam into Bluey episodes, or are they all in your head in the first place?
Oh, yeah, no, I don't go looking for them. No, they're just stories that I've read in books and heard in talks and courses over the years, and they're the ones that stick, I suppose, for me, and that are of genuine use, you know, and there's only a few of them. You know, the one in Bumpy is just one that, it's, you know, it's one of the only stories that ever really that comes to your aid when you need it. And this one comes to my aid when I need it. It's just one of those stories where when something, you know, when you dislocate your shoulder, you try and see a positive side to it, you know. And I guess because, yeah, we don't have a wide enough view to really tell whether something is how something's going to play out.
Is that it? What happens next? Why didn't he want to join the army?
What were the horses' names?
I would have called the white one Snowy.
Yeah, and the black one Midnight.
Army men were the baddies.
Is that a happy ending or a sad ending?
It's both.
I don't understand.
Come here. Everything will work out the way it's supposed to, Bluey.
My grandmother had this old book of fables when I was a kid growing up, and every time we went to her house in the summer, I'd sit there and read. It was all the old Greek mythology, but then it had like sort of those stories from all over the world. And I hadn't thought about it in years until this morning. It was really, yeah, it's such a beautiful one to include. And, yeah, probably quite fitting for everything, really, I guess, at the moment, isn't it?
It is, yeah, you know, and I suppose it was when you were writing an ending to I was writing an ending. And so for me, the episode, it's about endings, right?
My dad is moving us to another city and I'll never see any of you ever again.
What?
Let me read you this story. It's called The Farmer. See what you think of its ending.
And I remember getting reading when I was trying to learn how to write. I remember reading probably the best bit of advice I got, which was from he was a short story writer. Anyway, he said when you're, you know, writers and stuff, when you're in your 20s, you first come out of uni, you sort of reject the kind of sappy, happy endings, right? And you want to go for the really gritty, like life never works out, and you want to write these sad, tragic endings. And he said it's quite a, you know, it's sort of a young, naive thing to do. And the reason, he says, is what the episode says, which is, you know, people's lives have enough sad endings, you know, like we die at the end and we've got enough, you know, you don't need to tell people and remind people that life has sad endings all the time. So, you know, in his view, the role of art and stories was to be one of the rare places where we can go and it all work out and we get rejuvenated a bit and we get a bit of hope. So I think that has helped me in Bluey for the last 140 eps. And so it just felt right, you know, in ending this season to focus on, you know, on a story that has a bit of a weird ending, you know, and the farmer, you know, it's not a sad ending. It's not a happy ending. It goes a bit beyond endings. But of course the sign itself is a story and the whole thing is meant to remind you this isn't real life. It's a story. Works out for everyone. Brandy gets pregnant. You know, the marriage works. The kids get what they want. It's ridiculously happy because it's a story. We all know. The adults watching it know it never is that neat a line. But, yeah, it's It was a very satisfying one to write, and I feel like it pays tribute to that bit of advice that I read that's helped me so much.
Yeah, look, so happy everyone's gotten their happy ending, but going into this episode, there were so many questions. It felt like that wasn't going to be a given somehow. And looking back now, like, oh, yeah, that's right, children's show. Of course, everyone's going to get a happy ending. But
that's bluey though, Mary. Like, really
determined, like, you know, last week Ghost Basket ended on a cliffhanger. Like, it took me right back to my childhoods of all those cartoons that, like, to be continued. Like, was that tempting to, you know, lean into that and, sort of trigger all the 80s kids that will they even get to watch it next week when it finally comes because we couldn't rely on streaming then?
Yeah, well, I definitely wanted to set, you know, I definitely wanted to set it up. Like, you want to, it's a cheaty sort of thing. I didn't want to have to do extra work at the beginning of the sign. It was only meant to be 3 episodes long and it ended up 4. So I figured setting it up in one episode or one shot would just, you've already primed the sort of pump for the viewer.
Yep.
No, look, I wanted to, it ends the way I want it to end. I want to feel like, you know, they have to stay in that house because 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds, they've got to know whenever they want the healers, they're always in that house. Mm. You know, whenever they want it, they need to go back and visit the kids, they're always going to be in that house. So it always, you know, some friends said yesterday, oh, you could have taught a lesson about change and movement and all that. And that's for a different episode. This has to be Bluey's happy ending.
Also, had those friends heard of Bluey's World opening in Brisbane in August? Because it feels like the house is going to be fairly central to that as well.
Yes, well,
there's a whole lot of merch that would need to be reworked.
Yeah, that'll bring its own excitement, Mary.
Excellent.
Well, we're not doing that anymore.
Huh?
You see, relationships are complicated things, and
we're staying here.
Yeah, what she said.
Let's get on it.
Joe, tell us about giving Brandy her happy ending.
Yeah, that was a really difficult one because, you know, I've spoken to a few people since that, and, you know, that episode really brought some people into my life who, you know, really told me their stories who aren't going to have that ending, right? So it was a really tricky one because, and I ummed and ahed for ages thinking, well, what does a happy ending look like for Brandy? Because I think for some of these people I reached out, just, you know, the idea that, look, Brandy, her journey is to just be happy with how she is, right? So I did worry that the idea of showing her pregnant would, you know, could, I don't know, just be sort of like, oh, great, you know, another person gets what they want and I don't. But
it's so hard. It's
yeah,
so
hard. But like I just explained, the whole point of this episode is it's not real life. You know, stories aren't real life. And it's almost like, look, the happier, the point of it is just to show that everyone in stories get, in the stories I like anyway, they get their ridiculously impossible happy endings. For us, in a sense, and it I hope it doesn't take away, or, you know, it's kind of not meant to be real. Like, Ferris Bueller is not—he's not meant to be a real kid, right? He's not a real character. He's a demigod, you know.
Okay.
Cameron is a real character. Ferris Bueller is fake, right? So, I guess in this Bluey episode, everyone's ending ascends to that level of impossibility where you're. You know, it's way too sappy or way too happy and, oh, that all worked out. But my hope is because it's framed in that context that it gets around your sort of bullshit detector.
And, well, and yeah, bringing back Grandpa Bob, was that another one that was on the list of, you know, nice little innovo?
Definitely.
I loved seeing him back, by the way.
Did you? Good.
Yeah, and my four-year-old was like, but he was there all the time.
What were you doing in India for so long, Baba?
Well, girls,
he was up trying to find himself.
Find yourself? That's silly. Why do you need to find yourself? Yeah, you're right here.
What?
His fate was sealed by a lot of fans over the last few years, and he's been killed and lost at sea and all sorts. So, yeah, always.
What a comeback!
Yeah, no, he fell out for different reasons. I think because Mort sort of took his role. But that was, to me, that because when I went to India, I used to meet a lot of dudes his age who were off, you know, their kids had left home and, you know, they were married and all that, but they just went off to India to, you know, go on a bit of a search. So I thought, you know what, that's a good reason to miss multiple Christmases and things like
it
that.
It sounds like you've got a whole new episode in your head just about Grandpa Bob's exploits in India that's already, like, fully written.
Yeah, a lot of fisherman pants involved.
Some bindies. Yeah.
Well, look, all those happy endings, my heart is still singing from them. Speaking of singing, just so perfect getting Meg Washington's song to take out this episode. And this is a song from her 2020 album. Did you kind of hear that and see its potential, or how did it come to this episode, Joe?
Exactly as you describe it. Yeah, it was probably 2020. I feel like I listened to that album pretty soon after it came out. And, yeah, I still remember it. I was just lying there after work in my top room and listening through the album, and it was really cool. And then that song came on. And, yeah, I don't know, it just really captured me. And, you know, I've since spoken to her about it and her where she was when she wrote it. And I'm not surprised it's such a... I'm not surprised it elicits that sort of feeling, you know, in me and other people.
I feel it in the morning, I feel how low it lies, and then I hear you call it, and then I start to rise. I feel it in the morning, I feel how
you know, weirdly, it really was from the moment I started listening to that song that the ending of the episode started to form, which tends to happen to me a lot. You know, music, I guess, does, you know, it's sort of often when you know the emotion you're trying to bring out in a particular story and you hear mm-hmm. a song that sort of elides with that emotion, then it helps you just get the visuals out. Yeah, I really loved it, and it just felt like it felt like that was the song, which was a real difficult thing because it's never done anything like that before, never licensed music before,
yep.
Never used lyrics before, never not.
Now you can afford it now.
Yeah, well, I've never not used Joff before for a big moment, you know, and so it felt putting him in the corner felt.
Yeah, how did you break it to him? Were you just like, mate, I've got to end with this song, or he would have been on board? Surely he loves Megan, so
he does. Yeah, totally. Yeah, the Joff in him, Joff is Joff because he will always accept the challenge, and as I think as well as he knew it worked, he said, "Look, I can. You give me a go," and I said, "No, just my mind is fixed." And so then Swift, like when it came time to do it, then the question became, well. Joe Twist came on board and let's do a reorchestration of it. And I was very hesitant about that because I was attached to the rhythms of the original. But, you know, Joff and Joe sort of proved me wrong there. And they, I don't know, when you listen to the original song, ours has quite a different orchestration. But, yeah, really grateful that Megan, you know, took that risk and allowed us to use the song, and yeah, I think it just it knocks my socks off still. And to this day, you know, recording it, because she re-recorded the audio at Joff's studio, and we're all in there watching that. And
when I hear you call, like you were always there, I rise until I'm hanging in the middle of the air. When I hear you call, I split like I'm a snake, with golden light like fingers, and then I start to break into a bit.
So, you know, when you really love a song and you get to see the singer singing multiple versions of it, it's very rare that happens.
I think I just got goosebumps.
Like, my head's going to, like, obviously Megan Washington already working on the show, voicing Calypso as she was writing this song back in 2019, like in the themes of, you know, an examined life and kind of euphoria and parenting. Like, did she mention that she'd been watching a lot of Bluey in the lead up to writing the song? Like, have we got a full circle kind of Back to the Future situation here?
No, I wouldn't speak for her about that song. I do know she was in a it came from quite a internal place, and from memory, it is about parenthood for me anyway. Like, I think, like any good singer, she won't limit it. But for me, mm-hmm. it's about when you've those first couple of years of your kid. When I listen to those lyrics, it's about you do see language in the eyes of your kids. You know, they can't talk yet, but you can, you know, you see language in their eyes. It's a lovely lyric. And so for me, it fit really well for this show about parenting. It kind of does describe the, you know, the exhausted, exalted state that you can flow in and out of when you're parenting. I'm sure she'll tell you it's about something completely different, but that's what it. That's what I get from it. But I'm not really a lyrics person. To me, it was just the music, the melody, the vibe of the song was just it's incredible.
Oh, so beautiful.
Joe, it feels like you've gone really deep in this episode on those big messages for parents. What do you think The Sign means to you?
Well, I mean, ultimately it is that you don't know. You know, I have to always remind myself that, you know, an easier way to go through life is to not always get on the roller coaster every time something happens, you know, that, you know, it's rather than go all the way up high and all the way low is just to have a slightly more equanimous kind of approach to life. It's definitely easier said than done. It's something which I suppose it's always been in the things I've liked to watch and when I've made short films is I do love those, you know, that you don't know what little thing is going to cause what little thing. You know, and that's one of the beautiful things about life, that it's like, wow, if I didn't meet that person there, then I would have met that person. And it, you know, it's, you know, maybe, and it's just always is that lovely poetic question of, well, you know, is there some magnetic force, you know, attracting all those iron filings to you, or are you getting bounced, you know, like a pinball? And, you know, I certainly don't know the answer to that, but it makes for lovely kind of filmmaking, I think, to explore those themes. But for me, look, to answer your question, it's about endings, and it's about, you know, there's no, you know, it's there's not really any endings. There's just like at the end of The Office, you know, he goes, you stop filming now, right? But you don't know that the healer's staying put is a happy ending, right? Let's see what happens 2 weeks later or 2 years later.
Bandit's about to have a very difficult back-to-work conversation. So.
That was the peak of the market, right? And he's missing. Yeah.
Look, you know, if they get to keep the deposit, hopefully you can take a few months off.
That's right. Yeah. Don't ask me about the nuts and bolts of that. But for me, it's like, and that's life. It's it's just event after event, and I'm hoping to keep getting better at just remembering not to go all the way up and all the way down with them.
You'd be forgiven for going all the way up and all the way down. Bluey's been an absolute roller coaster the last 6 years, and we haven't even been at the epicenter of it like you have. I can't even imagine the weight of it, but also the joy of it, seeing your little idea literally being the most watched and loved show around the world. I mean, we've had Justin Timberlake singing songs about how if you don't cry in Bluey, you're not a real man. You know, really? Like,
he's yeah. correct.
Yeah, well, but what about your job?
I'll find a new one.
Nana, Bob and Stripe are dancing like eagles.
Oh, I got to see this. Are you sure you're not making a mistake?
You worry too much, little brother.
I really wanted to ask, you know, when Bingo is happy, I'm happy. Seeing Flappy come back, the blue Ulysses butterfly, just felt so magical. And I think that butterfly is even, you know, popped up in your earlier work, Joe.
Oh, yeah. Mary shared this amazing video called Changes, I think it was, that we found. It was must have been like early 2000s, Joe Brum, and it was about a butterfly flapping its wings in the east, causing a hurricane in the west.
Yeah, that was an early short film I made years ago. And, yeah, I mean, I think coming from North Queensland, you know, any butterfly I do always has to be a dunk butterfly. And so in a lot of ways, so when it came time to do any butterfly in Bluey, but particularly the one in Slide, I wanted a dunk butterfly. Now, they're quite big. But so I think Trudy kind of, maybe she shrunk it a bit. And it was kind of cool because they actually have quite cute caterpillars from memory. So Trudy will be able to correct this, but yeah, it was a Ulysses. So yeah, it is a little nod, I suppose, to my early sort of films, but more to my North Queensland roots, you know.
And to personal experience, have you ever had a butterfly kind of show you the way in life, or
right, well,
followed its sign?
Oh, all the time. Not actual butterflies, but I don't mind if I'm just completely at a point where I've, you know, I don't know whether to bet on red or black. I'm happy to, you know, throw the bone, so to speak, and just go with a bit of a sign or whatever. If you know, you need just some little reason to take a leap. You know, everything Bluey was like that. It's, you know, I knew I wanted to do this, but eventually you get to a proper fork in the road where it's like, well, do you really, are you sure you should really do this? Because someone's going to give you a significant amount of responsibility, and if you then don't follow through with it, then that's not going to work out well. And you do have to, you know, you find yourselves in those situations where it's just you and you've got to either jump or not. So often you'll grasp at anything, you know, just any little story or what someone says or a quote or anything just to well, I do anyway, to give me that extra little nudge.
Ah, thank goodness for butterflies.
Has it ever literally been a butterfly? Maybe.
I want to be a flower girl.
You got a speeding ticket.
I did. How did you know that? And how did you find me?
Flappy showed Mum a sign.
Oh, of course.
Joe, I want to know how everyone kept it a secret for the last few years, because, you know, everything we've seen on the socials from Jazz to some of the animators, you know, the sign's been in the works for quite a while. This isn't something that you've pulled out of the box recently. How did you keep everyone to keep the secret? Were you surprised it never leaked?
Well, it did.
Oh.
I think it screened Disney. Screened it in India and Turkey and then even the promo that came out, there was, you know, Brandy's pregnancy. You could see that in an image, and, you know, it's extraordinarily difficult.
Was that not deliberate? Oh, no.
I don't know. No, look, I mean, I okayed that trailer, right? I was like, okay, there's nothing big there, but you miss one little,
yeah, little bump
thing, and it's, oh, shit, yeah.
Adult, you know, Bluey fans Facebook went crazy.
Whoa.
Exactly. So that's as much my fault as anyone's. No, I think a little while back, the Cubby episode leaked in Russia or something ahead of trans. So when the decision came down that the sign would hold over for so long, I kind of just accepted that it will leak somehow. So I'm glad it didn't seem to catch on. And look, I think the percentage of the audience who really get into it, you know, and get online and stuff is probably fairly small. So I think for the majority of people who watch it, you know, they wouldn't have a clue about leaks and stuff. So I'm hoping the ideal for all of it was that you would just, you know, it would just blind, you would hit it all fresh, right? 100% fresh. And that's always my ideal. And the idea of trailers even, you know, it took me a long while to get used to, but I understand why you need them.
Oh, we needed something that we could binge. Yeah, we were at least 100 times.
See them. Thank you.
Yeah. Joe, there's still one more episode. Surprise. Are we likely to see that this year?
Well, that was meant to be a surprise, but that surprise is out. Yeah, that'll be, I'm hoping that's out soon.
So you don't want to move either?
Of course I don't want to leave Bluey. You took your first steps in that house.
Well, then why are you?
Because your husband's telling you to. No, because I think it could be good for our family.
But it could be bad for our family.
It could. I wish I could tell you which one it was going to be, but I don't know.
It's all black.
I guess we'll see.
Okay. Look, obviously a lot happens behind the scenes. We're very happy for what's now out from behind the scenes. When we last spoke to you, Joe, I think you were just finishing The Sign, and you know that was nearly 2 years ago. Outside of Bluey, has much been happening since? I know you told Hamish Blake that golf was a main focus, but for our listeners, Joe is wearing a sling at the moment because of his extracurricular activities. So.
Yeah, I
think what's been happening?
Yeah, some various attempts at golf have been happening. A long way from Augusta, but I've been writing something which is very Bluey related, which I'm sure we'll talk about soon, but probably not right now. But you know, a lot of it has been travel and going to Thanksgiving in New York and Annecy and just seeing Bluey out in the world because I can't remember when if that was before or after I spoke to you last, but I think due to COVID, I hadn't really been overseas to see Bluey in the US or anywhere. So it was really cool just to go over and just to be able to do that and see what's going on and that it has taken in the US and in the UK and stuff. Just lots of lots of writing, no shortage of that, but a bit of travel.
Amazing.
Joe, what's it like seeing Bluey in the wild? Like, does it still blow your mind?
It's almost become normal now, right? Like whenever you go to the beach or whatever, you'll see, you know, the odd kid in togs and stuff like that. And it's quite fun just to go, hey, Bluey. but it's, yeah, you know, some of the more peak kind of times in the US were a little more gobsmacking, I suppose. I think it's when you go to the play or something, or you go to the parade and you see intensified Bluey love.
Careful. I need Bluey to show me how slow to walk.
Well, you won't be here much longer either, Frisk.
What? Yeah, what?
You're moving out west with Rad after the wedding, aren't you?
No. Who told you that?
Not Rad.
Why would he tell you that?
Oh. Well, I think Trix is calling me.
No, I'm not.
Where is Rad? I sent him to get ice.
because yeah, it's something in the last 2 years, it has definitely ramped up. It's definitely like seemed to have gone to a much wider, broader reach, which is great. It's just still really satisfying. You know, we did it.
We're still recovering from Hammerbarn coming to real life. And off the back of the Bluey House being real with Airbnb last year, I saw you say off the back of that the one thing you kept from that was the meditating garden gnome, which then reappeared in Hammerbarn this year. And I have one now. Thank you to Kate.
We lined up at like 8 in the morning at the Hammerbarn installation at Manapara in Adelaide's north, and it was like an iPhone launch. There were like 100 people ready to go in.
Wow.
And there were 5 pallets of gnomes that were gone by 9:30.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's crazy. So you didn't get one in the store?
No, I got 3.
Oh, you got 3.
We, I mean, we weren't.
Kate was onto it. I now have one of the meditating gnomes in my possession. And for some reason, that really resonates with me as well. And I think it's because I need more Zen in my life. So why do you love that meditating gnome? And is it because of, you know, do you need more Zen for raising kids or making Bluey, would you say?
Oh, look, I love meditating and, you know, I love hate it, but I, you know, that's been a big part of my life. And I think that particular one, I'll go get it. It's right here.
Amazing. Oh, this is a good sign that it's still in one piece. Maybe there's hope for mine.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's
this is the one from the actual house. It's gigantic. Yeah.
It is. It's huge. It's just beautifully executed.
Wow.
I think
they spent a bit more money than they did on the Hammerbarn one.
Well, it's different markets, I suppose. But that day was I love it for a lot of reasons. It reminds me of the day, the second day we went back to that house, and it was all the crew came to visit and. We hadn't seen each other because we'd been in lockdown. So we'd all been isolated. And that kind of was the first time we're all in the one spot together for, I don't know, not as long as you guys, but definitely 4 or 5 months, I suppose.
Yeah.
At the end of season 2, I think. And it was a beautiful day. And it was just, I mean, it was such a weird experience. And in a lot of ways, it was the first of those weird experiences of Bluey, of like, holy dooly, like this is now in our suburb. In our town, and we spent an hour just out on the front street, just catching up and talking and shooting, you know, catching up, and it was just a great day, and so that, you know, that's a little reminder of it. But the actual, I don't know, to me, it's what I aim for in Bluey. It's like if you're going to do something, we should do it really well. And when you're up close to that thing, it's just beautifully constructed.
What was that?
Nothing. Let's just check out the kitchen, shall we? Oven, stove, fridge. You got some drawers they can open and shut. Alrighty, onto the living room.
Well, hey, hang on. I like these worktops. Is this silky oak?
Here come the grannies!
No!
Okay, I was just asking.
Why don't you check out the spacious dining room? I'll be right back.
Sorry, I know it's my question. Hold on.
I think we're actually getting towards the end of some, like, the list. This is amazing.
Yeah, I did throw in a sarcastic question as to whether or not you'd be setting up an emotional support group for people like us now that we seem that we might be waiting a little bit longer for Bluey.
Yes, it's in the mix. It'll be attached to Bluey's World in August.
counseling section.
Yeah, a little booth out the back.
Just many boxes of tissues and couches.
In all seriousness, Joe, do you feel that there's any mountains left to climb
with for Bluey? Yeah, I do. And we've got to announce things all in good time, but I think the sign has probably been a good test run for something longer, and I'd like to try something longer. Whether that kind of works out or not, remains to be seen, and whether it's a giant mistake or not also remains to be seen. But I think there's always, you know, I love the idea of it was like with this longer app meant the screening, say, yesterday in Sydney, it means you go and see it in the dark big. And I love the idea of trapping audiences in with my stories. And, you know, there's no one can come in and move out, and you're there to focus. And I think
you wrote movies, right?
Yeah. You blocked some core memories there.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, look, yeah, there's, I can't really talk too much about that at the moment, but that would be a cool mountain.
I think the very first episode time we interviewed you, you mentioned that was sort of on your wish list to do.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, right back at the start. So 2019, was it, Mare?
Yeah. And that is a very optimistic mountain to wrap this on as well. But, Joe, we try when we get a guest, and you've done it with us a couple of times, do a bit of rapid fire. And I think we've just got built up bluey questions that have been eating away at us. Would you be happy to have a few rapid fire bluey questions and maybe some answers?
Yes. All right. Yeah, let's bring it on.
Okay.
So was the concept of magic xylophone meant to be a Simpsons reference?
Oh, wait, to the there's some sort of magic xylophone. No, it wasn't. It just came from a game that I'd play with my kids, and it's like, this is the magic xylophone. No, the thing was, when I was like, my brothers and I were like, you know, of drinking age but still living at home, we had Foxtel, right? Because there was no TV reception, so we got Foxtel. And they, on Fox 8, they used to have Super Sunday Simpsons, where they would just play Simpsons all day. So, you know, we would all be hungover, and you'd just lie for 5 hours on a Sunday morning just watching back-to-back Simpsons for like the 2 years I lived at home. So it's hard to – I can't describe how many times I've seen the first 6 or 7 seasons of The Simpsons. So I'm sure it worked its way in so that 20 years later, when at 5 in the morning when I had to come up with a game, Magic Xylophone just came out.
In episode 2F09, when Itchy plays Scratchy's skeleton like a xylophone, he strikes the same rib twice in succession, yet he produces two clearly different tones. I mean, what are we, to believe that this is some sort of a magic xylophone or something?
This isn't very rapid, but I now know...
It's okay.
it's good to have lived through the exact experience that brought the writers of The Simpsons to writing that scene.
I bet you have. Oh my gosh.
It's amazing. It's amazing to read how, like, things I've never thought about in scripts, like, get examined. It's great.
Well, a recent example of things that may have been examined, such a great line from Chili in The Sign today, that Mount Cutha was where she and Frisky used to go for thinking. Did that have to go back and forth with the assessors a few times?
No, I got a bit of an easy ride on this. No, that was stolen from The Simpsons, though. I can confirm that.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think there's a line where he says, "I've got to go do some thinking," and Bart says, "I think he means drinking." So,
classic Simpsons mistake to make. It. Yes.
Joe, one of the episode stories, it had Winton and he sort of rose in the air and had like rainbow tears, I think, of like rainbows coming out of his eyes. Was that a pop culture reference? We looked for ages trying to work out if that was, and we couldn't work it out.
Okay, so there's two parts to it. One is me wanting to rise him up. I'm sure I'm probably borrowing that imagery from Akira.
Yep.
It just needs to be powerful. Yep. But then our VFX department, Daniel's son, he got a hold of that. And look, when that sort of effects need to happen, all the young kids gather around and they all talk about various anime shows and I should do that. And me and Richie have no idea what they're talking about, but it always ends up awesome. And it always ends up failing the Harding test, which is the flashy lights. So it
has no. Yes.
So okay. No, that, it's a combination of I think I was probably wanted Akira in the whole position like that, but then yeah, VFX just made that look so cool.
Okay.
All right.
One I haven't seen answered, who is the American football dog on the healer's wall?
Mm. Oh, wow.
Or maybe you didn't put him there.
I feel like I would have put him there. No, which episode is that?
Oh, man, a few. I reckon Bus. He's kind of, yeah, but on the wall at the foot of the stairs near the record player. But, yeah, it seems to kind of be purple and a big American football helmet.
Oh, okay, right. This one.
He's it's got right it. There.
Yes, that one.
Exactly.
I don't. You know, that's Katrina, our first art director, did that, and I've got no idea.
Oh, I saw her today at Fed Square. I should have been asking her.
Did you? Oh, wow. Yeah. but who would it be? Who's my favourite player at the moment? I like. Tom Brady is probably my favourite American football player, but at the moment, I quite like Mahomes actually. As for a quarterback.
Okay.
He's pretty deadly.
Ah, cool. Good to know it can be a revolving character.
Yeah.
Excellent. Joe, is there a pop culture reference in Bluey that just everyone's missed?
Oh, wow. I'm going to say yes, but none's coming to mind. Sorry.
Is there one that you're particularly proud of sneaking in there?
You're able to cut all this silence out.
Of course.
While you're thinking, I'll tell you I watched 2001 A Space Odyssey for the first time because of Bluey, and I've been conditioned for 7-minute stories. So, yeah, thanks for nothing.
it's a different watch. Yeah, pop culture reference. Always... I feel like I tried to squeeze a few into Army, but I think maybe we've already had a chat about it.
Well, they did get to the chopper, so, yeah, that was pretty classic.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? No, I'm sorry. That's
okay. I was putting you on the spot. Just pick, you know, a moment out of 150 episodes that you wrote six years ago. Yeah.
We've already touched on this of how you might get feedback on episodes, Joe, but it always makes me think of Wagon Ride and the line from Bandit of, how about I do what I want and you don't tell me what to do? When you wrote that way back in season one, were you already thinking of other audiences than your own children?
No, that is just purely, I'm sure that's something I said regularly to both my kids at that age. That's pure parenting right there.
Well, it's good to know that parenting prepares you for a tough corporate world as well. So, yeah, that's good insight.
Yeah, Bluey's – I mean, obviously I try to aim for that with Bluey as much as possible, but, you don't always get it right either. So I'm glad I don't fully get to just do, my first draft at everything. And I think it is quite a challenging show to a preschool broad network because it aims for that adult audience. It blatantly tries to go for that adult audience. So, it is always going to be a difficult one for any network. So I do feel a bit sorry for them. I mean, there's an app where, they're giving birth in a kiddie pool, right? So,
okay. Well, have you ever advocated for that episode to be returned to Disney?
Not like, started a petition or anything, but I think I always bring it up. No, look, I think I've given up on that one.
just at the start of all your emails. Hope you're well. Where's Dad, baby?
Yeah, pretty much. And look, I didn't really, beyond just going, oh, well, that's no good, I advocated pretty strongly for the UK, there was quite a lot of changes made to the UK, and I was very adamant that a lot of them were to the detriment of the show. The kind of Disney rolling back a lot of their changes, that happened from the audience. I'd long since sort of, moved on, I guess. Dad Baby is, it's that last thing floating out there, which, you know, one day maybe.
We'll win the culture war eventually.
Get Justin Timberlake to sing a song about it.
Okay, baby, time to come out. Go!
Sing to me, Pat.
Oh, yeah, righto.
Hey, True Blue, is it me and you? Is it Mum and Dad? Is it a cockatoo? Is it standing by you, mate?
Woo! Biscuits!
Yeah, it's amazing that so many things get over the line, but, you know, giving birth to the children that are meant to be watching the show is somehow taboo. But anyway, here we are.
I think we might have asked all our questions.
Oh, no.
I feel like I let you down on the pop culture one.
No, well, you didn't at all.
We let ourselves down trying to rapid fire things and then just turn it into a massive conversation. So thank you for rolling with us on that,
Jo,
as always.
I know we say this every time, but thank you so much for Bluey.
You're welcome, Kate and Mary. Yeah, no worries. It's my pleasure. Actually, I just remembered in surprise coming up.
Oh.
There was a lot of sci-fi, RoboCop, lots of discussions around this particular costume that Bluey has on it, in it. And yeah, I think we sort of squeeze, you know, a bit of RoboCop, a bit of, there was an old cartoon called Spartacus.
Ooh, okay. Sounds promising.
Yeah, a few little things. Well, here we go. Who we got? Is that Will? Hey, Joe.
This is Joe.
Hey, Joe.
You want to say hi to Auntie Mary?
Hey, mate. Hello,
Joe.
And this is Joe.
Nice to see you.
Can you say hello to Bluey?
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, what a good guest appearance.
Wow. Time's moving on, eh?
Sorry, I had to interrupt my interview to tell me he needs to do a poo.
Well, we'll have to cut that out for the American audience. Well, that's never making it to air. Like, forget about it.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure. It was really cool. Been waiting a long time to sort of, the whole crew been, you know, quietly excited about the sign. I think it's a really special app for me and for us because pretty much everyone's name is on the credits because it was, everyone worked on it rather than, you know, splitting the teams. So it's kind of one of the only apps where the whole crew's on it. Everyone just went large with it and music, you know, vision, the whole lot. So yeah, it's quite a big day for us.
It's so perfect. And yeah, it has been beautiful on the socials today. I think a vast majority of people who worked on it are like, finally we can say everything we're feeling about this. Really? And it's just a font of beautiful emotion. So yes, it's amazing to have reached this day. Thank you the team for us as well.
Yeah, please. And Joe, do you feel that it's important to, now that you've got this base of amazing animators in Australia, what are you going to do to help keep them busy?
Yeah, everything I can, really. I think animation in Australia is in a pretty healthy state. I hope Bluey has contributed to the perception that it's where, you know, a safe pair of hands and we can, not only take your scripts and animate them well, but originate and execute well. So yeah, I'm going to do everything I can.
Great. We can't wait.
We can't wait at all.
Beautiful.
Thank you for being so generous answering all our questions. We will come up with many more and hopefully do this all again sometime soon. But yeah, in the meantime, Joe, really appreciate it and enjoy life after the sign.
I will. Awesome. All right. Good to talk to you guys.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Bluey, you'll have to sit in the front seat.
What?
The front seat? Really? Is that allowed?
Queensland road rules say that if all the seats are taken, a child older than 4 can sit in the front seat.
Yep, it's allowed. Come on, get in.
This is the best day of all my life.
Well, glad someone's having fun.